Luke 12, 23. Starting 22, so we get it in context. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. There's one interesting thing about... No, I want to talk about something.
Okay.
The word body is translated almost all the time as soma. But occasionally it's translated as a slave. And all bodies are a slave to something.
Right.
And so let's go to Revelation 18. Starting verse 7, it's talking about this is the destruction of Babylon. Verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously or delicately, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived delicately with her shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and shall mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. And the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and of marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and the souls of men. Now, the slaves there, the soma, body.
Yeah.
What?
We talked about that last week.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're talking about it again.
Okay.
Because it needs to be understood.
All right.
That every body is a slave, either to the God of this world or to the God of eternity. There's no one that isn't a slave. There's no neutral ground. And this is the only thing that will give you zeal, is to understand that there's no neutral ground. And therein, because therein is the fear of the Lord. We love the idea of neutral or twilight. Anybody have any comment, thoughts, response? What's going on, Derek?
Is this just a parable
of Babylon?
Of society? Babylon?
It's the world that's under the reign of cause and effect, which is the seduction of the whore.
And are these typical of just big cities that are independent?
No, they're typical of the entire system. The entire system of the world is cause and effect. No man buys or sells without cause and effect. And this is just a ranging view, a sweeping view of the whole thing. Now, for us, in 1 minute, 1 second, that Babylon is destroyed when we see. I mean, the last thing in the universe you ever want to do again is go and say, if I do this, this will happen. If I don't do that, that will happen. Whether it has to do with illness or money or anything. It's because that's the antithesis of mercy and grace. Because every place you know what to do, then there's no faith. Now, this is the kind of stuff that they'll kill you for and think they're doing God holy service. Because I challenge you this day to see how often you retreat to cause and effect. Especially if you think that something is wrong. Well, that's the beast.
And that, where else?
All right, now, back to Luke.
But just another moment there, it's like there's no impetus to be different or think different unless you really hear something.
Unless you hear the preaching of the cross.
Yeah.
That's the power of God.
And see it.
And then repent every time you see yourself doing it from that point on. And again, if I said so often, if you can't stop for 1,000 reasons, then say, Father, forgive me. I have to do this. I don't know what else to do. But always take the lowest seat. But if you justify yourself using cause and effect, then you're just, no matter what label you have outwardly, you're just part of the whore. Amen?
Yeah.
Is yeah, amen? So be it.
Did I say you okay? Yeah, that's an amen.
All right. Which of you, by taking thought, well, let's go. The ravens, they neither sow nor reap. Sowing and reaping. We started to study that, and then we always get off on something else. Sow is spiro, means to sow seed. It's never to sow money. It's to sow something that has a lip that is. Appears to be dead but is living. That has the germ of life deep within inside it. So obviously Jesus Christ, when he's talking about sowing seed, is talking about human beings. Except you fall into the ground and die, you abideth alone. But if you die, you bringeth forth much fruit. Now the penultimate parable about the seed is Matthew 13. So let's go there. No, you know what? Let's look at it in Mark 4 instead. It's in both places, but Mark 4 has some interesting stuff. Chapter 4, verse 1. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprung up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him, his disciples, with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, and this is a huge deal, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. The antithesis of modern evangelism is right there. Lest someone understands or sees with their eyes and hears with their ears and should be converted. That can't happen. You hear all these kindergarten Bible teachers saying he taught in parables because he was teaching about the earth, and people there were used to seeing things about the earth because they were farmers or some such measure. No. He taught in parables so they wouldn't see and wouldn't and couldn't hear. Lest at any time. That they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. What's the oxymoron?
Well, that seeing they may see, what are they seeing but they're not perceiving? It's like they see but they don't get it.
They think they got it.
Yeah, there's some transaction that inspires them. Oh, now I get it.
But yeah, there's something that's like, that's happened
to
us.
Yeah.
A thousand times. They don't fall into the ground and die. They still have found a way in their mind to keep themselves alive.
So this is the preaching of the cross.
Amen.
They don't see because they haven't picked up the cross, and they're trying to give life to the old man.
All right, now we come to the parable.
Yeah, and then he goes, you're going to keep reading, right?
Yeah, that's what. This is the reason we're studying, is this sowing and reaping. And he said to them, Know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? In other words, if you understand this parable, you will understand all parables. This is the Rosetta Stone to understand all the parables in the Bible. So consider this very carefully. The sower soweth the word. Not words, but the word, Jesus Christ. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, the evil one, or Satan, cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts, or in their inner man. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, an affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. And the third is, then these are they which are sown among thorns, and such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And finally, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, what is the fruit that you bring forth from a seed? You bring forth like things. And this is the size of the number of people that will come to the mystery of God because of you, if you talk, if you say, if you believe. So you can see it's a parable of the seed of Christ. And yet now it's being used as money. I can't think of anything more evil. But this is the reproduction process. You can't reproduce until you've entered the Father position. When you've entered the Father position, then you know that you've been with Him from the beginning, because you're born from the first estate. And so you know, yeah, I know, I was with Him from the beginning. I killed Abel. I was the evil one in each of the cases throughout the history. And then you can reproduce yourself because you live it. Otherwise, you just talk about it.
That kind of got me there. You're with Him from the beginning, but as the evil one?
Right.
Why not as Christ? That's where I always went with that. Born from the first.
So you were Abel who Cain slew. No, it was Jesus Christ. You were Esau who chased Jacob, or what's his name? Isaac. Then, no, Christ is the parable of the others. You are the parable of the evil one. Otherwise, you will continue to keep yourself alive because you think you're alive from the beginning. Upon you shall come all of the blood that was shed. In 1 John.
Yeah, but I never imagined you're with Him from the beginning as the evil one. You're with Him from the beginning as.
So then what?
Seed, as Christ, and then you are connected, reconnected, because you see with the life that was there before time began. Not there as the devil.
You were there from the time that Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah, but that's not the beginning.
Which is beginning? You're talking about the beginning of beginnings is born again. This is talking about you as Son of Man.
Okay.
Not as Son of God. There's only one Son of God. He alone has immortality. Again, this is, I've been saying this for 40 years.
Work on your communication skills.
All right. Oh, boy.
What? Where are we? What did we just do?
We're just talking about sowing and reaping. Now let's go. Let's go to John 4. Don't you see how everyone that would what that I mean, you've got to understand that your mind went automatically to a way to save yourself. That's why you were with him from the beginning as you.
Or is it? I don't see it as me. That was the whole point. You gets in the way. Your deceptive natures that keep you from recognizing you were with him before the foundation of the earth.
You were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world.
Okay.
In him.
In him, right.
But before that in him can be manifested, the curse must be dealt with.
The what?
The curse.
Yeah.
And so you have to see this, and I didn't make this up. Let's go to Matthew 12. I think. No, it's Matthew 23. Verse 30. Wherefore you be witnesses.
You say Matthew
23, verse 30, I'm sorry. And say, you say in your heart, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Because we were the good guy.
That's what we think.
Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. That's one of the most important verses of the Bible. Upon you has to come all the evil that the human race has done.
Read 31.
We skip 31.
Wherefore be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them that killed the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood upon the earth. That has to be seen as each one of us. Otherwise, we won't fill up the measure of our fathers. We'll find some reason to think that we're good. I mean, go, we can restudy all from upon the righteous, from Abel to the righteous Zacharias, which was slain in the temple. And his blood seethed for 250 years.
Yeah.
You got to see that you're the guilty one.
Well, I've seen that, but I still thought the other was something different than this.
Okay, again.
This goes back to Abel.
But this says, listen, if we say, if I'd been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. That's a biggie. You heard me say a thousand times, you were Cain who slew Abel. Except I usually said I was Cain who slew Abel. Maybe I'm just the one that was there. Maybe you were Abel that I slew. Well, it's, I'm being facetious now. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 9. This is talking about the rights of an apostle. In chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? And not you? And are not you my works in the Lord? If I had not been an apostle, if I be not an apostle unto you others, unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare at any time in his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth down the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Anyway, that's just sowing and reaping, more so. But unfortunately, this is used by the televangelists to raise money so they can live like kings. All right, let's one more. No, unless we don't have time. The real test of this whole sowing and reaping is 1 Corinthians 15, and that's where we'll go tomorrow, if God permits. Any response to any of this? Do you have any doubts that you were Cain who slew Abel? That you were Adam who ate of the tree?
Both, right? Is that what you're saying? Both?
Who?
We are both?
No, you're dead.
So then we're not either one. We're dead. If we're Cain that slew Abel,
fill you up the measure of your fathers. The only way that can be done is to see that you are the evil one, otherwise you will never die. Gary never existed. The evil one. That's what went to the cross. That's why you're dead. Now, if you come back to the eye, then you have to go through this and see that you were guilty of all of the evil upon the face of the earth. Then you can come in humility before him.
Was Christ as Son of Man in that same position?
Same position.
And that's why he
took on him the sin of the world.
And God turned his face. Why he had to be baptized?
Well, that was the precursor to his death. And that's why the 42 months are so vital in the teaching of the Bible. It's all, they always think, some mysterious thing. No, it's the time from his baptism to his death.
Yeah.
From the time you were baptized till you see and know for certain that you died and you were buried in baptism. There's no more you. But in order to see that, you have to fill up the measure of your fathers. You're guilty of all the sin that ever took place in the world. Otherwise, you'll try to figure out, oh, I've got some good in me. I've got to do this.
Christ himself said, you know, they were saying good master. He said, call no man good. Wow, Christ said that. That's pretty much nixes us.
It's a biggie to see this. Then repentance becomes easy. It's as natural as breathing.
Yeah.
All right, take it, big guy.